take just a moment of your time to express my appreciation for the opportunity to be with you tonight. I recognize this is your singing night, so you have my condolences that you have to listen to me. Always a joy to get to sing praises of God together. You're to be commended for your worship tonight. I've been edified as we've sang songs of praise to our God in heaven, and I pray that He has accepted our spiritual sacrifices as we lifted up our voice to give Him glory. So good to be with this congregation again and to bring my family down to meet you. I appreciate your kindness and your friendliness, and you've been very kind to us, and I appreciate that so much. If you have your Bible, if you'll turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2, we'll begin a study there in just a moment of time. And if you're visiting with this church family, as I am, and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we're delighted to have you in our study. We'd encourage you to get your Bible and study along with us. I have no intention of belittling anything you might believe, but at the same time have the responsibility of preaching the truth of God. If you find that I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. If you'd show me the error of my way, I'll make the proper correction. And if you find that the truth has been taught, we pray that you'll apply it. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, as is taught in Acts 2 and 38, while we're standing and singing, we'll be praying within our heart that this night you'd want to put on Christ, have your sins blotted out, be added to the family of God, and enjoy every spiritual blessing in Christ. So good to see Brother McDaniel here tonight, and I appreciate the good work he's doing. I talked to an individual today, and they brought Brother Guy up, and so he has talked about a lot still in Shevville, and appreciate his good work and his wife. In 2 Peter chapter 2, I want to talk to you tonight about a subject that's not always popular, and yet at the same time, it's a subject that's needed. I'm fearful that if we're not careful, we don't get a proper view of God. I believe that we need, in our preaching, to preach about the love, the mercy, and the grace of God. I believe we need to emphasize just how much God loved man. And yet at the same time, we need to understand that He is a God of severity and wrath. And for just a few moments of our time, I want to talk to you about the unsparing God. I recognize this might be the last sermon I ever preach. You know, I've got plans to be back in Shevville next Sunday preaching the gospel, the Word of God. But I remember what James said, our life is like a vapor. It's here for a little while, and then it vanishes away. And at the same time, this may be the last sermon you ever hear. And I would that if I met you in the judgment, that your blood would not be on my hands as we think about the very importance of the God that we believe in, the God that we serve, and the God that we preach. If you have your Bible in 2 Peter chapter 2, notice, if you will, verse 4, a statement that the Apostle Peter wrote. He said, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." If you have your Bible, take note or underscore the phrase, "God did not spare the angels who sinned." I want you to recognize that angels are heavenly creatures. And I may not know a lot about angels except what is revealed in the Word of God. I recognize they came as messengers and were not recognized as angels, and this is in the days of Abraham and Lot. But I recognize they're special messengers of God. They're heavenly beings of God. And yet at the same time, I want you to note that these angels in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4 sinned in some way. If you take your Bible, turn to the brief epistle of Jude, and Jude sheds a little bit more light on it. Notice with me in the book of Jude, and notice down in verse 6. In verse 6, Jude said, "The angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day." Some people have asked me, "Preacher, what sin did the angels commit?" And all I could give you is speculation, and I'm not going to give that to you tonight, but I know one thing. They did not keep their proper habitation, and in some way they violated God's will. They sinned against God, and God spared them not. God did not overlook their sin. God did not ignore their sin. But God cast them out and has reserved them in chains until the judgment day. You remember that in the book of Matthew in the 25th chapter and verse 41, that it talks about that hell is a place prepared for the devil and his angels. And I want us to recognize tonight, here were the angelic beings who violated the law of God, and God did not spare them. God did not wink at their sin. God did not laugh at their sin. But God held them accountable for violating His holy word. But then if you take your Bible, go back to 2 Peter chapter 2 again. And when you come back to 2 Peter and the second chapter, notice again with me verse 5. And when you come to verse 5, look at the phrase, "and did not spare the ancient world." And if you have your Bible, you take note of that and you may underscore that statement. And notice it said, "but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly." I want you to observe this evening that at this time, that here is the ancient world that sinned against God. In Genesis chapter 6, you remember in verse 5, that the Bible says that the mind of man was upon evil continuously. Here were people of that day that were living in the very filth of sin. God looked down from heaven, and God repented that He made man. He saw the sin, He saw the filth, He saw the vileness in which they lived. And then if you take your Bible, you'll find that there was one that found favor in the eyes of God, that found grace, and that was Noah. And notice that Noah preached to the people and begged the people to get into the ark that he was building by the commandment of God. Everyone who got into the ark would be saved. But if you remember in your Bible, it says that only eight souls were saved. Notice in your Bible again in 2 Peter 2 and 5, they had a preacher of righteousness. And notice he's preaching to them to get into the ark. He's begging with them. He's pleading with them, saying you need to be saved. And notice, my friend, that only eight were saved. That I may impress that on your heart a little more, turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew in the 24th chapter. And in Matthew 24, look beginning at verse 38. "For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came, and watch it, took them all away." Look at that phrase. Took them all away. How many people were spared outside of the ark? Not one individual. There was not one individual that who had not entered into the ark that was saved. God is a loving God, to be sure, but God is an unsparing God. When man lives contrary to His will, when man violates the law of God, when man turns his back on God, God is an unsparing God. But then if you take your Bible, look again in 2 Peter chapter 2 again. And when you come back to 2 Peter chapter 2, look if you will in verse 6. "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly." Now I want you to think about that city. And now notice if you will in verse 7, "He delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked." But who was saved and spared out of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah? Three people, Lot and his daughters. Why is that? Because you remember Abraham had went to God and interceded in Genesis 18. And he said, "If I find 50 righteous, would you spare the city?" And God said, "Yea." 45, yea. 30, yea. All the way down to 10. And Abraham walked up and down the city of Sodom and he could not find 10 righteous individuals. And you know, my friend, God would not spare that city. God is an unsparing God. He spared Lot, who got out of the city. But you remember that Lot had two sons-in-law. in your Bible, if you will, look in the book of Genesis for just a moment and notice a statement that's made in Genesis 19 and verse 14. Lot went out and spoke to the sons-in-laws who had married his daughters and said, "Get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. They laughed at him. They ridiculed him. He said, "Get out." But if you will, drop down to verse 24. When they did not get out, notice they were not spared when the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. He overthrew those cities. The God that we read about in the Bible is an unsparing God. He will not spare man who does not submit to His will. He will not spare man who does not come to Him on His terms of pardon. The God of heaven is a loving God, but He is also an unsparing God. Remember what Paul said in the Roman letter and the 11th chapter when he said, "Consider the goodness and severity of God." So thus far I've looked and I've noticed three things. God spared not the angels who sinned. God spared not the ancient world that sinned. And God spared not cities of Sodom and Gomorrah when they continued to violate the law and would not repent. But go back to your Bible again to the Roman letter and the 11th chapter that we mentioned just a moment ago. And when you come to the Roman letter and the 11th chapter, notice, if you will, verses 20 and 21. And notice carefully what is said. And notice this is coming from the divine revelation. "Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For watch it, if God did not spare," underscore that, "the natural branches, He may not spare you either." Now what's He talking about? He's talking about the Jews who were the seed of Abraham that rejected the Christ. And he said, if God did not spare the Jews who came from the lineage of Abraham, then Gentiles, you beware, if you turn your back on God, He won't spare you either. Gentiles, you have to be faithful. You've been grafted in. But if you go around, He'll cut you off just as He cut off the natural branches. God will not spare individuals who do not live in harmony with His will. But that brings up something else. But in a different light. While you have your Bible open to the Roman letter, turn with me to the 8th chapter for just a moment. And when you come to the Roman letter and the 8th chapter, notice, if you will, verse 32. And when you look at the unsparing God, here you see the love of God. Notice what the divine word said. "He who did not spare His own Son," oh, underscore that, "but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" I want to ask you a question tonight. Why did God not spare His own Son? Did He have the power to spare Him? He absolutely had the power. But He let Him die. Why? He allowed Him to be belittled and ridiculed and have the crown of thorns placed on His head and the scourge on His back and be nailed to the cross. Why? So He could save us from our sin. You remember that Jesus said in Matthew 23, He said that He could call down 12 legion of angels. But I'll tell you, my friend, He did not call down the legion of angels to destroy this entire world, but He allowed Himself to be nailed to a cross to spare us. Now what I want to do is think three or four quick things in the lesson's yours. The first thing I want us to think about tonight is, if God did not spare the angels, and if God did not spare the ancient world and Sodom and Gomorrah, what makes us think tonight that He'll spare us if we don't walk according to His will? Why do we think we would be exempt? Now someone may say, "Preacher, there may be some who don't know enough." Well, my friend, you're not in that category, because I'm going to tell you right now what you need to do in order to be saved. In your Bible, in the book of Mark, in the 16th chapter, in verse 15, Jesus said, "Do the disciples go into all the world and preach the gospel?" He said, "You make disciples." And then what does he say in chapter verse 16? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, my friend, if you reject the Word of God, God will not spare you. Now, someone may say, preacher, that's narrow-minded. Well, my friend, I cannot go beyond what is written. I have to take the whole counsel of God and preach it in love and preach it in humility. And when I look at the Word of God, I want men and women to understand that God will not spare them outside the body of Christ. That one must be in Christ to be saved. One must have their sins blotted out. Someone else may say, but preacher, I'm young. How young, my friend? Now, we've got some in this audience that are too young. They're not accountable. They've transgressed the law of God because they don't understand right from wrong. But sometimes you'll find an individual getting up in their teenage years and even older, and they know right from wrong. And you remember what the writer said in Ecclesiastes 12:1? He said, remember thy creators in the days of thy youth. When your heart is young and tender, that's the time you need to come to Christ. But someone else may say, but preacher, I would join what you don't join. Or I would obey the gospel of Christ, but there's a lot of hypocrites in the church. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think on the day of judgment you stand before Jesus and say, I would have been baptized, but there were just a bunch of hypocrites, and say, you're right, that church was a bunch of hypocrites and you shouldn't have become a member of it? Oh no, my friend. In Ephesians chapter 5, you remember what the Apostle Paul said in about verse 23. He said that Jesus is the Savior of the body. He's the head of it. What's the body in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23? He says He's made Him head over all things to the church, which is His body. You need to be a member of the body to be saved. And I'll tell you something, my friend. I can't blame anybody else for my soul. I can't look in the day of judgment and say, well, if this brother treated me better, I would have been saved. Or if this person had been nicer to me, I would have obeyed the gospel. Oh no, my friend, we are all held accountable for our own actions. But that brings up one last thought. Have you ever thought about what it means to be spared because of Jesus? Look in the Old Testament for just a moment, in the book of Malachi and the 4th chapter. And when you come to the book of Malachi and the 4th chapter, the 3rd chapter, look at what he says beginning at verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on His name. They shall be mine, said the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Who's God going to spare? Under the new covenant, the one who's come to Christ and not rejected Him. The one who's obeyed His will. The one who follows in the footsteps of Jesus. And I want to tell you, my friend, one of the greatest joys is knowing I've been saved from my sin. That I am a disciple of Christ. And that I can be spared, even though I've violated the law of God, even though I've sinned against God. When I come to God in repentance and obedience, my God will blot out my sin. And I'll tell you, that's a joy. When the Ethiopian eunuch was baptized, what does it say after he'd been baptized? He went on his way rejoicing. When the Philippian jailer had been baptized in Acts 16, what does it say he and his household did? They rejoiced. There's joy because of what Jesus willfully did for us. God did not spare His Son because He looked down from heaven and said, you're worth it. Save me. My question is, my friend, have you reciprocated the love of God? Oh, do not misunderstand me. Do not misrepresent me. God is a God of love and mercy. but He's also the unsparing God if we reject His will. If you're here tonight and you need to obey the gospel, we pray you would obey us. Together we stand and sing. We cordially invite you.